Worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift him up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on. It's Sunday morning. God wants to do something in this house this morning. But it takes a church that's tapped into the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands to heaven. Surrender everything right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Be exalted in our lives today, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel an awesome power of God in this place this morning. I know it's Thanksgiving week. We've got plans for the week, families coming in. But I believe God is here today, and God knew who was going to be in this house today, and he's got it all in control. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. I want to give honor to Pastor today. Amen. Pastor and his wife. Great people of God doing a work for God in Houston, Texas. There's no better place to pastor, amen, than Houston, Texas. And the reason why I say that is this is the seedbed of apostolic revival in America. Amen. And I've been feeling to say this for a long time, even before I ever knew I was coming here to preach. The seedbed of apostolic revival. And this church is latent with history, man, men of God that have gone on before. And that anointing has been passed down to this moment. And God is calling us to this time. And everything that Pastor said today is because God is bringing us to this moment, because this church is about to see the greatest revival that God has ever poured out in this city. Apostolic Temple, you stayed faithful to the doctrine. You stayed faithful to holiness. You stayed faithful to truth. Other people walked away. They said we can get more people other ways. But I'm going to tell you, God's going to reward you. I said, God's going to reward you. Come on, let's praise him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so that is the foundation of the message today that God wants to bring to this church. If you'd open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here. We did not take it lightly. Man, we thank God for the way that he has put us together. Amen. I know I took one of your favorites to Colorado. Amen. But you raised her right. She's the most beautiful pastor's wife I've ever seen. And I love my wife very dearly. Amen. And to watch her do the work of God and love the people of God, and knowing that that's what this church and her parents and her family and grandparents, that's what they put in her. And I'm thankful for that. So we love you, Apostolic Temple, and we're glad to be here. Exodus chapter 16, verse number 4. The Bible says this: Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no? And then flipping over to the book of Psalms, chapter 95. Psalms chapter 95, I'm just going to read it because I've got to move to one more text very quickly. 95 and 8 says, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. And again, verse number 15, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, somebody said, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Amen. And this morning I want to preach with the help of God. Here you eat the bread and yet you don't believe. You've got the bread in your mouth, but still there's unbelief in your heart. Let's pray together right now. God, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. Let your spirit move in this place. God, bind us together, the preacher and the congregation. God, let us be a team today, for we are moving toward what you have for this service. All of us have come together to bring us to the culmination of this service, and that is the changing of lives, the changing of direction, and that people in this place would leave different than the way that they came, in Jesus' name. Can you praise God one more time before you're seated? Oh, come on, let's really do it. Hallelujah. The Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Anybody triumphant today? You ought to shout. You ought to lift your voice. Do it with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just a few more seconds. Break something in the Holy Ghost today. Come on, shift something right now. In the name of Jesus, tear down every stronghold. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated this morning if you'll preach with me. Amen. If there is any iconic story of the provision of God, it is found in the children of Israel walking out of Egypt and walking toward the promise of God. If there is anything that tells us that God is a provider, it is this story. I want to reiterate that in our minds this morning, because God is a God of provision. God is a God that is able to do anything. Amen. There is nothing that is too big for God. There is nothing that is too small for God. God is a provider today. Amen. Hallelujah. How many can testify God's a provider? Amen. This is not my sermon, but when we see God first as Jehovah Jireh, we see it in Abraham and Isaac. And so we take that scripture and we apply it to our bills, and that's good. And we apply it to food, and that's good. Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's all good. But I want to tell you the first type that is to us is that God is a provider of salvation. When Abraham took Isaac to the top of that mountain, Amen. It was an image of God who, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, come on, somebody. I know the Baptists want to take that scripture, but that's not a Baptist scripture. That's an apostolic scripture. Because we know that the Bible said God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. It was not some demigod that came from heaven, but it was Jesus Christ, God Almighty, robed in flesh. Oh, hallelujah. God is a provider. God loves to provide for his children. And the greatest way that God could ever provide for you today is if he ever pulled you out of sin, he provided for you. Because there was no way of escape in myself. The Bible said that I am a wretch and undone. I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. There was no possibility of me ever coming out of sin. But thank God that there was a ram in the thicket. Thank God that he sent the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Come on, if God ever provided for you, you ought to shout on a Sunday morning. If God ever made a way, you ought to shout on a Sunday morning. If God ever pulled you out of drug addiction, you ought to shout. If God ever pulled you out of alcoholism, you ought to shout. Come on, apostolics. We're too quiet about our testimony. We're too quiet about what God did. He's a provider. He's a way maker. He opened the door. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. It's going to break this morning. It's going to break this morning. There's people in this city. They don't know that there's a God that can save their marriage. But I'm preaching about a God that saves marriages. I'm preaching about a God that delivers people. He's a provider. We see that in the story of the children of Israel. Bible says that their shoes never wore out. Their clothing never got small. Amen. They never wanted for anything. Everything that the children of Israel ever needed, he gave to them. He was their direction. He was their light. In the darkest of night, when they were walking through the wilderness, the Bible said that there was a pillar of fire that led them along the way. That's what God is today. Amen. If you're in a dark place, God is the Holy Ghost fire that will draw you out of the darkness of deception. Hallelujah. We're living in a world of deception. Amen. But God will draw you out of deception. People that are stumbling around and they hear this on the internet and they see this on Instagram and somebody tells them what they think the Bible says on Facebook. But I'm telling you, when God steps in, all of that will dissipate. All of that will go away. All of that will be lost because of the light. That's what God is. But can I tell you, we've got to understand this is a people that are coming out of slavery. You can sit down, you can stand up, it don't matter to me. My mama told me one time, she said, don't tell people to sit down because they're going to do what they want anyway. You ever been at a conference like, sit down, sit down. You think you're at a Catholic church, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up. Amen. You can do whatever you want. God's going to do what he wants today. And here they are, walking in the provision of God. But the children of Israel come up against something that they've never had to combat before. because they were slaves. They were bound up. The slave master told them when to wake up. The slave master told them when to go to bed. The slave master told them when to work, when they could stop working. That's what the master said. When they could eat, what they could eat. Oh, yeah. And God is bringing a people out of that, and he is forming them into a nation. God is going to have to break some old mindsets. God is going to have to change some old ideologies. There's a paradigm shift in the minds of the children of Israel. And God understands this. But you got to understand, when you come out of that somewhere, you come out of a mindset of everything is done for you. Amen. I could type this today to people in our age that they are still enslaved to sin. Because the devil tells them to wake up, tells them when to go to bed, tells them when to take another hit, tells them when to take another drink, tells them when they can cuss, tells them when they can shut their mouth. I'm telling you, we're in a world of bondage, but God is bringing people out of bondage, and he's taking them into their promise. If you're under the sound of my voice today and you're in bondage, God did not intend for you to be in bondage, but God's taking you to a promise. Hallelujah. I know a lot of times we preach the promise as heaven, and that's an okay application. But in the context of that scripture, the promise is what God is going to give to us on this earth. I'm thankful for heaven. I'm going to heaven. But before I get to heaven, God has a work for me to do on earth. Come on, somebody. If you're just sitting there warming a pew somewhere, you got to understand God has a purpose for me. God has a plan. God didn't call me to sit on a pew, but there's a world that's dying and going to hell. God brought me out of bondage to take me to a promise. He's taking the children of Israel to their promise, but in the process, he's got to take them out of the mindset of slavery and into the mindset of possession. You got to quit talking like a slave. The devil doesn't own you anymore. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, which are his. You got to quit dressing like a slave. You got to quit acting like a slave. I'm not bound to sin anymore. I'm a servant of God. I'm a servant of the master. Hallelujah. They want to say this is bondage. This is the greatest bondage I've ever been under. I don't wake up on Friday with a hangover. I don't wake up on Saturday with a desire for a drug hit. This is a give me more bondage. If this is bondage, I want all of it. Because God set me free. God delivered me. God made a way. God brought me out of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quit talking in bondage. Quit talking like you can't do it. Well, Pastor, I would, but I just don't know if I can do that. Pastor, I would go to college, but, you know, my mom and dad told me that I wasn't that smart. And, you know, Pastor, I would pray more, but I just don't know if I can pray more. People talking like they're still in Egypt. Amen. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They're not even too far removed from the Red Sea experience. You can read it in the Bible just a little bit after. The Bible says They've just put down the tambourines and quit shouting about the victory that God gave them at the Red Sea. And the Bible says, it's just three verses later, the Bible says that they walk into the wilderness and they found no water. They just walked out of the greatest miracle that they have ever seen. In the book of Psalms, the Bible says that the waters piled up. They were looking at mountains of water. Some people believe it was the Red Sea. Some people believe it was the Red Sea. I don't really care what you believe. But the Bible says that there was waters piled up. Now, I know what I believe. Do you? I know what I believe, but there was waters piled up. Amen. And they're walking through that on dry ground. They get on the other side, and maybe one day I'll come and preach. If you want me back after this, who knows? I preach the message, the song, and the dance of deliverance, because Miriam is setting precedent in the spirit. There is a distinct link between the tambourine, the dance, and your victory. And they've just set down the tambourine. They've just quit dancing. And all of a sudden, they're already complaining. Moses, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. We want to go back to Egypt. And all they can remember is the good things about Egypt. They've already forgot the whips. They've already forgot how they degraded them and talked down about them and treated them like property. They've already forgot about all that. But all they can remember is the leeks and the garlics and the onions. Some people, all they can remember about sin, I remember those Good Friday nights. But you don't remember Saturday morning. Oh, I remember those times. But you don't remember the fights you and your wife had. Oh, I remember. And you talk about it in front of your kids, and I'm pulling my hair out thinking, why are you making sin a beautiful thing? Sin is not a beautiful thing. You can put whatever spin you want on it. You can say, well, you know, when I was out in the world, people didn't talk bad about me in the church. Well, when I was in the world, people didn't. Yes, they did. They backbite you. They mistreated you. They talked bad about you. They put you down. They tried to climb over you. Quit remembering all the good things. The leeks. The garlics, the onions, the melons. That's all they remembered. And out comes their unbelief. Because complaining will always out your unbelief. Oh, it's going to get quiet today. It's Thanksgiving week. And I'm preaching about complaining. Complaining. Well, we didn't have to worry about this in Egypt. They brought us our water. Yeah, they brought you your water when they woke you up and said, it's time to go to work. It's time to grab another cigarette. Come on, it's time to put another needle in your arm. You remember those? No, give me the leeks. Give me the garlics. Give me the onions. We want to go back to Egypt. Because there's no water. And the Bible said that they came to Marah. And God says, okay. Moses, there's a tree. You cut that tree down. You put it in the water. And it's going to become good water. They were at a place of bitterness. And God showed them how to get through that bitterness. And the wording of God is real sweet. It's real coddly, you know. If you will hear my voice, in this instance, he's saying, I will provide for you the rest of this time. He's trying to teach them. He's trying to woo them. He's trying to call them, come on, children of Israel. Come on, people of God. I'm taking you into your promise. You've got to come out of complaint. You got to come out of griping at the leadership and griping at the ministry and griping at this and griping at your brother and griping about the church and griping about everything in your life. I'm taking you into your promise, but you got to come out of unbelief. God said, okay, here you go. He fixes the problem. Well, they learned something. Squeaky wheel gets the oil. So here they go. Just a few more days. They've already seen the miracle of God. The Red Sea, Mara, and then they get a few more days in and they're out of food. They didn't pray about it. They didn't talk to God about it. What'd they do? Moses, you brought us out here to die. You brought us out here to die. And we're not going to get into the promised land. Come on. I'm preaching to a generation that the Bible said this would be a description of this generation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, unthankful. Unthankful. You've got everything that you could ever want. You got a $1,000 iPhone in your pocket right now. You got a beautiful car sitting in the driveway. You got a place to live. You got food to eat. And all we can do is complain and gripe and be unthankful. And I'm telling you, that outs your unbelief. Because if you believe God was a provider, you wouldn't complain about it. If you really believe that God could do anything, you wouldn't complain about it. If you really believe that God could save your family, you'd quit griping about it. You'd quit complaining about it. And you'd start praising about it. Hallelujah. Oh, we're getting somewhere. Stick with me. Stick with me this morning. And they come out of that. And the Bible says, after this, the Bible says that the Lord comes unto Moses, and he says, I will rain down bread from heaven, from the bakeries of God. The most amazing bread that you have ever had in your life. Every nutrient, micronutrient, enzyme, probiotic, and everything else my mother-in-law thinks I need. I'm talking about the most perfect bread that you've ever had in your life. Everything that you need is coming from the hand of God. It's coming from the oven of the Almighty God, and it's raining down upon you every single day. Everything that you need. Every single day, he's raining it down upon the people. And he says unto the people, he says, you go out every day. Look, this is all you got to do. You go out. You pick up just enough for that day. You take it in. You bake it. You eat it. Now listen, he's dealing with people that are coming out of a situation that they fight for their food. If they get just a little bit more of a scrap of food, they'll kill somebody for it. They'll do whatever they've got to do. And God's trying to take them into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Everything that they need, but they've got to work for it. And so God said, there's no more fighting. There's no more hoarding food. There's no more keeping it back. You got to go out every day and you got to pick up the bread and take it in and bake it. Hallelujah. You say, what does that have to do with us going to where God is taking us? There's people, you're trying to hoard everything that God has given you because you think somehow God's going to run out. I'm not pastor today, but that's why people have a problem giving to the church because they think they're going to run out. But I'm going to tell you, when you give to God, it comes back. Press down, shake it together, and run it over. That's why I don't have problems giving my tithe and offering, because he gives it back. And when I give, he gives more and more and more and more. Every time I love somebody, he gives it back. Every time I pray for somebody, he gives it back. But they're hoarding food, you know. Oh, my goodness. We got to keep this all. We're not going to have enough for tomorrow. They're hoarding it. And they go to the bread pan the next day. They open it up. And there's worms coming out of it. God said, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove you to see if you will hear my voice. All of this is contingent upon the idea, are we going to hear his voice? Are we going to obey his word? It's all contingent on, do we believe or are we living in unbelief? I didn't come to beat anybody over the head today, but I came to preach a spirit of unbelief out of our lives. Because, oh, God have mercy. Here we go. This is what I've been praying about for months on end, and I didn't even know I was going to be here. But I'm going to preach to a church right now that there are some prayers that are dormant in the eternal, and they are the prayers of men of God, like Verbal Bean. They are the prayers of men of God, and the others that I don't even know, and Wayne McClain, and the prayers of this man of God. And you think that it's just happenstance that God has brought us to this position, but God has set it all up in place because you're about to walk into the promise of God. And I'm preaching to you, that promise is so big, this building will not contain it. This property will not contain it. One church will not contain it. But God is looking upon us today, and he's saying, are you ready? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe today? Some of you need to reach back and you to grab some old anointings that are dormant in this church, and you need to put them on yourself in prayer, and you need to pray like your bishop prayed, and you need to pray like other men of God that you don't even know have prayed, and you need to let those utterings and those voicings come out of you because it's time to walk into the promise. God's taking you to the moment of your promise. And he's testing you. The Bible said that there were 10 temptations in the wilderness. And God is using every single one of those temptations to bring them to the boundary of the promised land. Because he knows there's giants in the land. And he knows that there's going to be 10 spies and there's going to be 8 that are full of unbelief. 8 of those gripers and complainers. And all they can talk about is, well, I just don't believe that. I don't believe you can pray those prayers again. The Bible said in Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is within you. It came to you from your grandmother Eunice and from your mother Lois, and it is within thee by the laying on of my hands. I'm preaching to people right now that men of God, have laid their hands upon you and put within you the prayers that will break the strongholds of this city. But you have got to believe it. That's why you've got to pray. You got to pray until something breaks. You got to pray until something moves. Young person, you got to pray like grandpa prayed. You got to pray like mama prayed. You got to pray like the elders prayed that have gone on before. This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. If it happened for them, it's going to happen for us. He's bringing you to the boundary of the promise. He's bringing you to the culmination of your great miracle. Amen. And somewhere you've got to recognize every other miracle that has ever happened in your life. We think miracles are just blind eyes being opened. I'm thankful for those. We think miracles are just deaf ears being unstopped. Can I tell you, God gave me a miracle this week. He put new tires on my car free of charge. The man would not let me pay. Some of you are driving old hoopties to church, and all you can do is gripe and complain about it. Well, if I had a car like Pastor, I could pick people up for church. Well, if my car looked beautiful like Brother So-and-so, I could pick people up for church. Well, you know what? If we just had something else, if we had those cool lights that everybody had, maybe we could have revival. You're so worried about what everybody else has. You've forgotten the miracle in your life. You've forgotten the bread that came down from heaven. You've forgotten the water in the middle of the wilderness. Somewhere you've got to begin to thank God for the miracles in your life. Every single day, they walk out, and the Bible said it was like the hoarfrost. Thanks, Bubba. Just stay here. I might need your help. It's like the hoarfrost. And they went out, they picked it up, they took it inside, and they baked it. Every day. Like the sun rising. When the sun rose, there was the frost on the ground. They went out, they picked it up, they went back, they baked it. Then the Bible said there was a rock that followed him, which was Christ. They went down to the stream, they dipped their cup every day. No worries, no cares, not worried about it. Is it going to happen? No, it was no thought. Is it going to happen? It was happening. It was happening. It was like the sun rising, the sun going down. And all they could do the whole entire time was complain about it, gripe about it, get upset about it. You remember them onions we used to have? This is okay, but it ain't as good as that. And then they would complain about the bread. The Bible said it was like the hoarfrost, but there came a time it was like coriander seed. When they first went out, it was beautiful. They were starving. It was so beautiful to them, but somehow their perception changed of the miracle. The miracle wasn't as pure to them. It wasn't as beautiful to them. It wasn't as lovely to them. Somewhere they took the miracle and they began to think other than what it was. And they'd walk around. I don't know what angel baked this today, but it's pretty dry. It's some dry bread. Here.
You want some of my miracle? Try it. It's pretty awful. Here, bro. Try it. Have some miracle. You want a miracle, young lady? Here. It's okay. It's not that great. But Collins, this man's seen some miracles. Here, you want some of mine? It's okay. It's not as good as here's a miracle. It's okay for me, but one day when I get to be like him, maybe I can have a move of God in my life. They had a miracle. But they got to complaining about a miracle. That Christ water is not that good. I'm preaching to somebody right now. I'm preaching right now because you got a beautiful house and all you can think about, well, if I get a bigger house. I'm preaching to some young people. You come into a church that loves you and all you can think about, when I turn 18, I'm getting out of here. I'm talking about young people that the call and the hand of God is upon your life. I'm talking about young people that you could be a part of what God is doing. You could pastor a church. You could preach a revival. You could be a missionary. But all you can think about, well, if I could just sing at peak. If I was really good, I would sing at peak. You know, I know Sunday school's not out today, but I'm going to tell you the greatest thing that you could ever do in a church is go to Sunday school, teach those babies about what Jesus has done for them. You're preaching the word of God every Sunday, and all you complain about, well, I wish I could do more than teach Sunday school. Well, I wish I could do, maybe if I had my own church, maybe if I was a pastor, maybe... Quit complaining, quit griping, and eat the bread today. Here, have a miracle. I'm preaching miracles today. There's miracles all over this place, but you can't complain about your miracle. Every time you get gripey, you need to understand there's a miracle in my mouth. There's a miracle in my mouth. There's a miracle. I'm eating a miracle. I'm partaking of a miracle. Grab that other loaf. Go hand out miracles. Listen to me while I'm preaching. Everybody needs a miracle today. And the Bible said in Psalm chapter 78 that they got sick of the bread. We don't want bread, God. We want flesh. And they tempted God, Psalm 78, in their heart, by asking meat for their lust. This bread ain't good enough, God. All the probiotics, all the micronutrients, all the enzymes, everything that is keeping me from getting sick, it's not good enough. We want meat. We've got to have flesh. And the Bible said that it was because of their lust. Verse number 22. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. It was all a sign of their unbelief. That's why I said when you hear people complaining, it's because they're living in unbelief. They don't believe that God can really do what he said he would do. And so the Bible said that they desired after flesh. And they didn't even realize that they were eating angels' food. That's what the Bible said. He said that he was sending them angel food. They were eating of the heavenly. They were eating of something that was extraterrestrial beyond all time and space. They were eating of revelations that God had given to them. I'm preaching to a church that you've got revelations that churches would beg for. They would cry for. They would fall on their knees and weep for. But somehow we just eat the bread and gripe about it. I wish he'd quit preaching one God. That baptism in Jesus' name stuff's getting pretty old. And there's churches all over the world that they're begging, saying, God, we need to see you, God. I'm talking about angels' food. I'm talking about food that's coming from the throne room of heaven. I'm talking about a beautiful revelation that God gave to you. Somewhere you got to grab a hold of the book and cherish it and love it. Hold it close to your chest at night and say, God, I love you. I thank you for your revelation. I'm coming to a close. So the Bible said that he rained flesh upon them, feathered fowls like as the sands of the sea. So they did eat and they were filled. And I didn't even read in Numbers chapter 11. The Bible says that they were so filled with flesh that it came out of their nostrils. I feel sorry for whoever has this after me. You better wash this one. You probably need to burn it. The flesh came out of their nostrils. I'm not trying to be crude this morning, but that literally means that they vomited out those quail. God became angry with them. He said, okay, you want flesh? You're going to lust after all these things? He said, I'll give you flesh. I'll give you flesh till you're sick of it, till you're vomiting it out. And the Bible said, oh my God, the Bible said, so they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while the meat was in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Oh yeah. The ones that consumed the most. And the Bible said they were not estranged from their lust. That's the thing about lust, is the more you go after it, the more you want it. Somebody said, well, I'll just miss this service and then I'll be back. But you're all in flesh, in the lust of your flesh. I'm not just talking about moral sins. I'm talking about lusting after things without praying for them. Oh, well, if I can just get that $5 an hour raise, I know I'm going to have to miss a little bit of church, but that'll be okay. If I can just get a little bit of a raise, I might have to move across the state, but that's okay. And I'm preaching to somebody this morning that God has you right where he wants you. God has you in a place, but all you can do. In the Holy Ghost, this is what you look like. Bible says they were quail. I don't know if you've ever chased a quail, but I have. I've shot a couple, and they were running around on the ground. And do you know how big a quail is? Less than the size of my hand. And they're running around. And can you see 2 million people? That's what some people look like, going after the lust of their flesh, chasing after jobs that you don't have any business being there, chasing after things you don't have any business being there, chasing after relationships you don't have any business being there, and you're chasing after flesh, and God's saying, I've got the bread for you. You don't have to chase the bread. You just go out and pick it up. Oh, but you want it in your cupboard. You want it there in your bread pan. You want it baked, ready to go. But God said, I can't do that because I'm taking you to a place that you're going to have to grow your own corn. You're going to have to pick your own corn. You're going to have to grind your own corn. And you're going to have to break your own corn. If I just give you everything, when you come into the promise of God, you'll lose it all. You won't know how to take care of the promise. You won't know how to cherish the promise. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible says, when you come into the land, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of bondage and out of the house of Egypt. He said, I'm going to give you houses that you didn't have to fill. I'm going to give you wells that you didn't have to dig. I'm going to give you vineyards you didn't have to plant. But you've got to go out and you've got to cultivate it. So, children of Israel, I'm preparing you for that. There's your bread, but you got to go and pick it up. You got to bake the bread, and you got to quit complaining about every miracle that I give you. Oh God, if I could just be like them, I'd be okay. Shut your mouth. Quit complaining. Quit griping about, well, if I could just have something a little better. It's a miracle in your life. You're taking a miracle and casting it by the wayside. There's a lot of people in this house. You've got a miracle in your hand. I want you to stand right now. I've done what God asked me to do, and now He's going to move. I got done. Somewhere in this house, somebody's going to get the revelation of the smallest thing in my life is a miracle. Oh, you're begging for the big, I want my children to be saved. But you got to start thanking God for the small miracles. Because every miracle that you experience is taking you to the promise. So you got to quit complaining about the bread and start looking for the promise. You got to quit complaining about the car and start believing God's going to use you to bring somebody to the house of God. Quit complaining about the house and realize I can teach a Bible study in my house. I can have a miracle in my house if I'll just quit complaining about the bread. Come on, the Holy Ghost is in this place right now. Get your bread in your hand. Get up to this altar and you start thanking God for every miracle. Come on, it's Thanksgiving weekend. When you go to the table, you thank God. Thank you for the bread. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for the miracles. Come on, that's it. In the name of Jesus. Every miracle. Every miracle. Start thanking God for the miracle. I've got a miracle in my mouth. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to gripe about it. I'm going to see a greater miracle.
Stop it, blessings on its way. I'm claiming my promise.
provision.